and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available. Well, good morning and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio program of Providence Reformed Church of Vermilion, South Dakota. This morning we are on the Heidelberg Catechism. And just briefly looking at question 13 before we move on to number 14. And we've been talking about the grace of God and man's redemption and how we cannot redeem ourselves, how our works cannot satisfy the justice of God. That which can satisfy the justice of God must be perfect throughout. We don't have that. Only Jesus Christ has that. The only way that you can be satisfied before that God's justice can be satisfied in you is that if your sins are imputed to Jesus Christ and He has dealt with them once for all on the cross. The Catechism says, can we, in number 13, can we ourselves make this satisfaction? Certainly not. Notice how definite it is. If that was written in the Greek text, it would say, God forbid, which would be the Greek term megenetoi, is the strongest form of denial that you have in the Greek language. Absolutely, certainly not. It is an impossibility. No way. Don't even think of such a thing. That's basically what it says. Certainly not. On the contrary, just completely opposite of what people say, we daily increase our guilt. You see, every single day you think something contrary to the law of God. I mean, just think of the fog that's in our minds now. And so you recognize that the Pharisees, as Jesus said, they would die in their sins if they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And that He is the one that Moses wrote about, the one that would come and save His people from their sins, the one that Matthew writes about in Matthew 1:21. He would call His name Jesus. Why? For He will save His people from their sins. The virgin would be with child, and you'll know. You'll know the sign that the Lord gives. And He will be the one that will come forth, and the government will be upon His shoulders. He is the one who will redeem His people. He is the one who will see the travail of His soul, and He will be satisfied because He will redeem a multitude unto Himself. And if you don't trust in this one, the justice of God will not be satisfied against your sins. It can only be found in Jesus Christ. So number 14 says this, can any mere creature make satisfaction for us? None. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man has committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin and redeem others from it. So the sin which man has committed, man must atone for. And that's why Jesus Christ is fully God and He's fully man. And you know that He's fully God and He's fully man because even as the Catechism says, that no mere creature could sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin. Think about that. Christ on the cross. How is it that He was able, as being fully man, to be sustained on the cross, the blow of God's eternal, infinite wrath against sin? And when we think of the sin that was imputed to Jesus, we have a tendency to be local. In other words, we think of just ourselves and what we got going on here, or even your own personal life. But the Bible speaks about that Christ redeemed a multitude. And the book of Revelation says it in these terms, which no man can number. That's the covenant promise. That's what we find in Genesis when the Lord was dealing with Abraham, that the descendants, that the seed of the woman would come to redeem, would be as the sand by the seashore in number, as the stars of the heaven. So that means the sand of the seashore in multitude is what was imputed to the back of Christ. That's awesome. That's unreal. That's staggering when you think of that. And not just the sand of the seashore in number, but a multitude from each grain, because that's the sin of each one of those. So what was imputed to Jesus Christ was the sins of a multitude. But think about how many sins that you, even in your own life, have committed, and things you don't even know that you have committed. All of that was imputed to Jesus Christ. It was an awesome redemption. It was an awesome crucifixion. It was an awesome display of the justice of God against the sins of all those who were given to Jesus Christ. And he was willing to drink the dregs to the fullest. This is the demonstration that he is fully God. Not simply fully man, but fully man and fully God in the one person of Jesus Christ, is that his Godhead sustained the manhood. So even in the cross, you recognize that Christ was the sacrifice that was consumed like the burning bush, but wasn't disintegrated like the burning bush, right? Mm-hmm. And this is demonstrated because he is also fully God, and he was sustained. So it's Christ who sustains the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin, and he redeems others from it. Because no other creature can do that. No mere creature can do that. Then 15 asks that question, then what kind of a mediator and redeemer then must we seek? One who is true and righteous man. True man. Now, I've had people ask me about Christ. I mean, Greg, what do you think that the most heresies involve in church history? What do you think that they center around?
Well, they centered around the Trinity in the early church as they worked those things. But most of it, yeah, was in Christ.
Yeah, it was Christological heresies.
Yeah, didn't think he came in the flesh, thought he was a spirit, thought was not God, and all kinds of things.
Yeah, either he was simply God and not man, or he was man and not God, or the Spirit of God came upon him while he was on the cross and sustained him, and then left him after he had died, or Jesus was two persons. I mean, there, you know, it's like being in California. It's the land of the fruits and the nuts. I mean, you have that with the church history, right?
Yeah.
You just simply have all kinds of heretics teaching all kinds of strange things about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was true man. True man. This is what the writer of the Hebrews says. He was made like unto us at all points except for sin. He did not have a sin nature. He did not have the proclivity to sin, the desire for sin. So he was a true man. He had like passions like us. You saw that Jesus, he slept. Jesus got tired. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He can identify with us. He was tempted at all points as we are. And so we have a sympathetic high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. I mean, that's great. That's great to know that we have a high priest who can sympathize with us. So he's a true man, but he's also righteous. The righteousness now goes back to the garden, doesn't it? The moral righteousness. You know, Adam had moral, he lost the moral righteousness, but he retained the moral agency. And so he was still a moral creature. even though he had lost his moral righteousness. He's accountable for his actions. And Christ is the righteous man. What do you think about when you think of righteousness?
Somebody that's totally right. There's no sin.
And what is right? And now we're not talking about your house now.
Yeah.
What's right in my house is what I say is right.
It's not my standard. It's God's standards. So, perfection.
So righteousness is doing the right thing. And God is the one who declares what is right. And this is what Christ, this is who he is. He is the one, and the writer of Hebrews says that everything that he does, he came to do the will of his heavenly Father. Which one of you can accuse me of sin? My meat and my drink is to do the will of my Father in heaven. And this was Christ's life was consumed with living his passion for the glory of his Father. And yet, as the Catechism says, more powerful than all creatures. So this is our God. He's not only like us, except for sin, but he's also God. And he is this in one person. The Council of Chalcedon makes it clear that the two natures of Jesus Christ are distinct eternally. They are eternally distinct. In other words, Christ took upon himself humanity, but now that he is in one person, fully God and fully man, for all eternity, the natures are distinct. The Council of Chalcedon speaks in this way. They are without division, without confusion, without separation, and without change. That is the person of Jesus Christ. So, it's common in our day to talk about the God-man, Jesus Christ. I don't like that term. I don't like that term because it gives an image of a confusion of the natures. Kind of like, what's that creature? He's half man, half horse. Centaur. And it kind of, God-man, hints at some kind of a mixture in him. And that is contrary to the confessions that make a very clear delineation of who Christ is in his two natures. So, we're trying to avoid some heresies here. You see, because if you mix it all up, then you have the ubiquity of the body of Jesus Christ, where it's everywhere present. And the body of Jesus Christ is local. He is in heaven, and he's there to be worshipped. We have, and many will hold to the Lord's Supper, and they'll talk about Christ being in, under, and through the elements. Well, that means that the body of Jesus Christ has to be physically present there. So that means that the body of Jesus Christ is then given the attribute of divinity, which confuses his nature. That's a heresy. It's called the Monophysite heresy. You know, it's attributing to the human nature divine attributes, confusing it. And Christ is at the right hand of the Father. He's there to be worshipped. So he's true God, and he's true man. He's fully righteous. He's more powerful than all creatures. That is, he is one who is true God. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that we need to satisfy for all of our sins. And he has said, come to me. If you're weary, if you're heavy laden, he gives you rest. He says, take my yoke upon me, on you, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And in me, what do you find?
Rest.
Rest for your souls. Run to Jesus. He's the only hope for satisfaction for our sins. God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencerccus.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.